Welcome to the Aeolian Impromptu. I'm your host, Maya Barsak. Today we're going to delve into the world of performance artist and composer Pamela Z. This is a track entitled Pop Titles You, which was composed by Pamela Z and is available on her release entitled A Delay Is Better. And this is for voice, delays, and text. I also had the pleasure of talking with Pamela Z and want to share with you a short interview that I had with her recently. Thank you so much for taking the time to speaking with me.
You're very welcome. Prego, as they
say. Prego. Yeah, so you're in Italy right now. What brings you to Italy?
Well, I'm here for almost a year for a Rome Prize fellowship. So I received the Rome Prize in music, and I'm part of this year's cohort of fellows.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
So you're a composer, a performer, a media artist, and you work with electronics. For those of us out there in the universe who don't know, how would you define yourself?
Well, it's tricky. I seem to become an increasingly hyphenated artist over time because I have my fingers in so many different pies. But so my work is quite interdisciplinary. But I would say that at the core of it is definitely sound and the human voice. I consider my instrument to be the combination of my voice and the electronics I use. And these days I've been So even though I'm best known for solo works for my own voice and electronics, these days I've also made quite a few chamber works where I have been commissioned to compose pieces for other musicians, sometimes solos, soloists, sometimes chamber ensembles. I've even made one chamber orchestra piece now. And even when I make these works for chamber ensembles, they tend to include some kind of a media element that might be just tape, as we still like to call it, or in other words, fixed media audio that goes with the live performance, or in some cases, live processing on some of the instruments. And in one case, I made a piece. In a lot of my solo works, I work also with video. Mm-hmm. And in one chamber piece I've made, the fixed media component of that includes video, a pretty immersive video, project single channel video and sound, as well as a string quartet and some devices. They all are asked to have their mobile phones also on stage, and they use those as well.
Oh, interesting. And so do you create also your video footage, or do you collaborate with people?
Both. In the case of the piece I made for Del Sol String Quartet, mm-hmm. which is it's called Attention, and that's the piece I was just speaking of with the video component. In the case of that piece, I made the video as well, and I consider the video to be part of the composition. In some of the other works I've done for myself, I sometimes create my own video, and I sometimes have had video collaborators. But in more recent years, most of the video I've created myself.
And so how have you branched into combining, let's say, more traditional elements, let's say, of composition and utilizing your voice and technology? What drew you to that?
I would say it was a very early stage in my current, I guess, incarnation as an artist. When I was in music school, I was a voice major and I studied classical voice. I went through this period where I had this really split mode of working, where by day I was singing opera arias and art song and so on. And then by night I was playing in clubs and I was a singer-songwriter. After I got out of school, I became increasingly interested in contemporary and classical music and experimental music. And in my travels, in my artistic travels, I should say, I came upon someone who was using digital delay mm-hmm. to loop his instrument. And I ended up buying my own digital delay because I was just immediately struck by, oh my God, there's so much I could do if I had that machine, whatever he's got there, and could use that with my voice. I bought a digital delay and began playing with it. And it was basically all over at that point. Like, essentially, I think that was a single, I think people can rarely point to a single point in time uh-huh. where they sort of found their voice as an artist. Uh-huh. But I feel like when I started playing with the digital delay, that was the moment I sort of found my voice as an artist, because I started playing with layering, not just looping, but layering and, finding different sonic possibilities with just my own voice. And that led to all kinds of other live processing things. Although I would say a lot of what I do with live processing is still really firmly based in digital delay. It developed and grew over the years to include things like a lot of more things like out of phase loops and or very long loops that are so long that they don't really read as loops, and mm-hmm. textures and multi-rhythmic textures and ambient textures, and then other kind of kinds of distorting types of processing that really alter the voice, like, you know, granular synthesis and pitch shifting and things like that. So I just really found that I was able to create things that are really my own when I started working that way.
So that was the catalyzer.
Yes.
In terms of your creative process and you're finding a way of connecting and expressing with your muses.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And then another, I would say, pretty important point a little bit later on was when I started to play with gesture controllers, instruments that allow me to use physical gestures to manipulate the sound, either sampled sounds or the processing on my voice, to change the parameters of the processing of my voice, or in some cases, even manipulating the video by just making physical gestures. And so that sort of was another leap for me because it added this ability to expand the performative quality of what it is I was doing, because I was already very deeply into this idea of the physical presence of the body on stage. And so when I began to be able to control things by not just by pushing buttons but or turning knobs, but by just making physical gestures, that I think sort of bumped things to yet another level for me.
Right. Yeah, those instruments, if we may call them that, are very interesting. I actually remember trying those in your studio in San Francisco and being very enamored by what they can do. So do you see yourself also as a choreographer, shall we say, when you create a piece, that it's not just...
Sure. In general, I'm not sure I would call it choreography.
Okay.
Because I feel like there's a kind of a gesture that you do that just results in the sonic effect result that you were looking for. Mm-hmm. And I would venture to say that it's not unlike somebody playing an acoustic instrument, like, for example, a concert grand piano. There are some pretty extreme gestures involved in a virtuosic playing of that instrument. Uh-huh. And I don't think that the player probably at any time, but certainly not, if they do, certainly not often, does a pianist consider those gestures to be choreographed. It's almost like the making of the music is what drives them, not the gesture drives the music, but the music making. I don't know if that makes sense. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. So you're more, if I understand it correctly, you're more interested in the sound that is produced and the sound that is built.
Yes, I am. And I'm also interested in the physicality of the playing of it, but I don't approach it from the direction of I'm going to do these gestures and then let me see how I can get those to make a sound. It's more like I want to make these sounds. What gestures can I use to do that? You know what I mean? It mostly goes that way. But okay, there are exceptions. There are times in pieces where things are a little more theatrical and where I deliberately do something that's almost figurative. Like I have a piece called Typewriter where I'm triggering actual samples of a manual typewriter and I'm using typing gestures to do that. And that was... You know, that I would say is more, I guess, quote unquote, choreographed. And there's other occasions where I'm doing things like that, where there's something kind of literal that I'm doing, and I'm deliberately doing a gesture that will link up to the viewer's eye with the sound that I'm making. So, you know, there's some of that, but it's not the main driving force with how I use those things. The other thing I can say is that I occasionally make theatrical works that are sort of full evening, very performance-oriented works that do involve staging, and there is blocking where decisions are made about where I got to hit this mark and then this mark, and I have to move here, and I have to manipulate this object and do this or that. And so those are more choreographed, but in a way, it's not choreography in the sense that a dancer choreographs dance moves, as it is more like making decisions about position and gesture and just visual essence of what you're seeing. But I think that the lines are fuzzy between those things. And mm-hmm. I can even think of one instance where I made a piece called Gaijin, which was, I did it in the early 2000s, 2001, I think. I had spent 6 months of my life living in Tokyo in 99. And when I came back to San Francisco from that trip, I made this large-scale performance work called Gaijin. And it was one of the first pieces I made that involved other performers. So there were four performers total, myself and three Butoh dancers. And in that piece, I dare say that I actually did some full-on choreography. Like I worked with these dancers and I made decisions about actual movement that they were doing. But I also collaborated with them, and a lot of the movement that they did were things that they came up with as well. So it was a combination.
Right. Because I think, you know, for those people who have perhaps taken a look at some of your videos, there seems to be, at least to me, a choreographic element. Mm-hmm. Because it's very well thought through, and there is a presentation. We could call it blocking, or we can call it choreography. But there is, like we say in French, a gestuel. There is a consciousness of the body that comes into your work, which makes it multi-layered and multidisciplinary.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps those instruments that you've incorporated into your compositions do add an element that, like you say, kind of blur the definitions perhaps of choreography.
Yes, absolutely. I would definitely, I'd agree with that. I think there's a difference between what I do and I think maybe I make the distinction because I think of myself, if I were to compare myself to a choreographer who's like a true choreographer, that what they do is they design the movement of bodies in space. I think there's a difference between what I'm doing and what those people are doing, but the lines between are very blurry at times. Just as I know that there's dance companies that, for example, ask their dancers to employ their voices in the dance.
Right. And I was going to say a lot of choreography today is also blurring the lines.
Exactly. And yet most of the time I would say those choreographers probably don't consider themselves composers just because they're asking the dancers to make vocal sound. Even though in the strictest sense, you could say they are, because there's a sonic reality that's happening in the dance and they designed it. So that kind of makes them the composer of at least that part of the sonic business that's taking place on stage. I like the difficulty of categorizing and boxing these things up. And that's sort of, we need more of that, I think.
So that brings me to ask you, how do you feel about how we now categorize artists? I mean, you're a performance artist, you're a composer. Do you feel like perhaps the definitions are shifting nowadays?
I think it's completely fine that we have the entire spectrum, that there are people who you could easily sit them in the composer category, and there's nothing that they're doing that would surprise or confuse anybody's conception of what it is to be a composer. And there are some people that you could put in the filmmaker category, and really everything they do perfectly fits in the box filmmaker. And there are people who are choreographers or dancers or both, who what they're doing is exactly that by pretty much anyone's definition. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that that still exists. But on top of that, there's this other layer of people who are crossing boundaries and or sort of erasing them.
Right. So it sounds like you're one of them.
Yeah. And I think that there's a place for all of that. And, you know, I have to say the fact that there's kind of purists in terms of genre or in terms of discipline makes it all the more interesting when people aren't. You know what I mean?
Right,
I mean, I don't, in other words, I don't wish for a world where nobody stays in their, you know, colors inside the lines. You know, I don't wish for that world. I just love a world that welcomes one, the other, and everything in between.
Fabulous. And in closing, tell us something about something that really tickles your fancy right now and is inspiring you to the next thing that you're kind of brewing and cogitating?
Well, let's see. Oh, gosh, there's so many things that pop into mind. I guess what hits me right now is kind of what I'm working on, which is, and this is something that's kind of been present in my work for many years now, but I kind of have a real love of speech sounds. Uh-huh. And I've been using them in a way that involves recording people's speech and then using that to compose music out of the actual recorded sounds, which I cut up and turn into little fragments, speech fragments. And then sometimes they're bigger fragments. Sometimes they're, you know, entire sentences, sometimes entire words or phrases, sometimes just syllables, sometimes even just phonemes. And I take multiple people's voices, which I acquire by interviewing those people and recording the interviews, and I build music out of it. And so I've been doing that for a while, but I'm still really enjoying that. And on this this residency that I have here at the American Academy in Rome, and I'm just building this library of their voices, and I'm just getting started on editing those and finding sounds, finding music in them. And the other thing I'm working on right now is I'm going to have an exhibition as part of an annual exhibition that happens at the American Academy called Cinque Mostre. Uh-huh. And I think there's more than five artists who will be represented in it, but I think that I'm guessing it's called Cinque Mostre because in the beginning it was probably always five, but now I think it's just, they just keep that name. But in any case, one of the pieces in it will be a piece I'm making, which is going to be a 21 channel sound piece, which will be largely using the sampled voices of all these people. And I'm going to build this array of 21 speakers in sort of a matrix of 7x3, this space called the Cryptoporticus in the basement of the Academy. So I'm kind of excited about that.
Sounds fun. When is it going to be?
I think it opens February, maybe the 20th. Of February, and it runs for like 3 months or something.
Oh, great.
Yeah, 3 or 4 months, I think.
Fabulous. Any parting words?
Well, I don't know. I'm really enjoying being in Rome, and I hope that by the time that I leave here, that I have a degree of fluency in the language and have learned a lot from these really smart people I'm surrounded by.
That's great. It's always good to be surrounded by smart people that engage your mind, spirit, and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Well, Pamela, thank you so much for joining me.
Happy to do it. And I hope to see you around soon. So maybe next time you come to Rome, give me a jingle.
I shall. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We're going to say farewell with another little snapshot of Pamela Z's work with In Times of Old, and this is for voice delays and samples.
Time. In times of old.
you want to find out more about Pamela Z, you can find her on the web at PamelaZ.com. Wrapping up this first edition of the Aeolian Impromptu, coming up, an interview with Catalan composer Feliu Gaxuls, based in Barcelona. That's coming up next. You can find these podcasts on the web, on Facebook at Aeolian Impromptu, or on my website, mayabarsak.com. Thanks again for listening, and looking forward to having you join me soon. Be well.